You guys good this morning?
Yes.
It's good. I'm still a little, I think I'm just recovering from what Gilly shared. It amazes me sometimes how much can be said in, 2 minutes, a whole person's life, and the fact that they give the full credit of the breath that they now have and the victory and the joy they now have in their heart, give all that credit to God. And it's just an amazing, that what was just said is, that's the gospel. Bible says that we overcome as believers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did on the cross for us. And we begin to just speak that out. There's really nothing else. I mean, I thought I was coming to preach today, but Gilly already preached the gospel. And we can look at it different ways, and we can study the scriptures, and we can look at things. But the point is, Jesus came to change lives. Jesus came because we were stuck. Humanity was broken. We were abused, being abused, and we were abusing each other. And God said that he found love in his heart for us, and to the degree that he sent Jesus, his own son, to do something about it. That's powerful. The love behind that kind of an action, the love behind that kind of an approach can only come from God. The Bible makes it very clear that we love him because he first loved us. There's not one of us that was so clever that we discovered God and said, hey, I think this might work. No, it's not how it worked. God saw us in the mess that we were in, and he had love in his heart, and he sent his Holy Spirit, whether through a fellow believer who reached out to us. It's still God's Spirit that moved them to do that. Did they stand to gain anything from reaching out to us, whether it was parents, whether it was friends or whoever? No, they just found the Lord, and the Lord found their heart, and they wanted us to be a part of that. And I just thank God. I was raised in a home situation that was godly, that was God-fearing. I was trained and taught the Bible from a very young age. But do we all know that your faith has to become a personal decision? It's not something you inherit from your parents. This relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, is not something that's just passed on. There's been a lot of really great parents that have done the best to raise kids, and the kids make their own decisions. That's just how it works. That's God's idea. He gave us free will to choose. And that's not because he's an imperfect father. That's just the only way you can get love out of someone. If you make a bunch of robots and require that they treat you with affection, that's not love. Love requires the opportunity and the option of not loving. God didn't program us like little robots to just love him. He gave us a spirit, and he gave us a model when he showed Jesus to us. And if that is looked at properly, there's something in the human that desires to be free and desires to receive that gift and desires to receive that sacrifice. And that happens individually on an individual basis. It doesn't happen by coming to this room. It doesn't happen because you happen to have good friends or bad friends or anything else. It happens because people decide, Jesus, what you did for me is what I want to receive as the gift that you've offered for my life. And immediately, amen. The gospel becomes not just a message out there somewhere. It becomes your life. The gospel is about transformation. The gospel is about what Jesus did and simply saying yes to it. So thanks, Gil, for the frog in my throat, which hasn't gone away yet. But this stuff just always moves me. There's no way around it. A changed life, a transformed life is powerful. And that's what Jesus came to do. So it is Father's Day, and I'm so glad we sang that song. Because that song moves me too, because I realize that all the things that I see broken and the mistakes that I've made, it's amazing humans are very quick to blame things on God. Most of the time they'll say he doesn't exist. Oh, God, until they really need him, right? And then all of a sudden, well, maybe he exists. And then usually before they embrace him as the scapegoat for everything that's been wrong in their life up to date. And who knows that God's big enough to handle that? God's not intimidated, doesn't fall off his throne because we curse him or because we blame him for the things that aren't working in our life the way that we would like them to. But Gilly mentioned several things. I mean, he did preach us a full message this morning. He just did it in a condensed version. He mentioned that we're up against an enemy. We're up against a deceiver. There's an operating spirit in this age called the prince and power of the air. The Bible calls this present evil age just exactly that, a present evil age. We live in an age where sin still has the effect that it had because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. We still walk through the fallenness of human nature. We look at things like what happened in South Carolina, and we realize that if you don't think evil exists, your head's in the sand. Let me just tell you, if you're a philosopher and you're going to tell me that everyone's just a product of a bad environment and we're born essentially good and everything's fine, evil's just concocted in the human mind, I'm sorry, you're gravely deceived. You're gravely deceived. I've seen parents who follow that philosophy through with newborn kids. They treat them perfectly, and the kids start to scream at them and bite them and bite their brothers and sisters. Meanwhile, the parents do nothing but provide the perfect. They read all the books. They do everything just right. They change the diapers almost before they're even needed. And especially with firstborn kids, the parents just think, oh man, if I do this perfect, I'm going to have a perfect child. And then you realize after a few weeks and months, as this child begins to grow, they have a self-will inside. They've been born with a fallen nature. They inherited from Adam, and they're not born perfect. I'm sorry. I have 9 children. Our oldest is 21, and I'm not just speaking from what I've read. There's a time when children rise up and they decide they will run your house. And if you're not man or woman or father or mother enough to say, I'm sorry, babe, that's not how it works. There's actually a few other rules. You can't just bite and scratch and kick and hurt people and scream whenever you feel like it. There's other people's interests that need to be protected. So you don't get to just be a tyrant. You have to abide and fit within these guidelines. And we begin at a very young age, hopefully. Some parents go into, they just raise kids their whole life that way, and they're usually, they meet a parole officer or someone down the road that becomes their parent because the parents didn't step in and provide guidelines for them. Guidelines are necessary. We have to realize that there's a way that God wants to set us up to rule and reign on this earth that's different from what the world teaches us. And I just want to encourage you, we were all born into darkness. We were all born into Adam. It was in there. The greed, the mind, and I want it now, and I can't have it now. Well, I will scream, and I will. I mean, kids in the store now, they're telling their parents, I hate you. I hate you. I promise you, every child that's saying that is because that parent has not shown them who's actually in charge. That's unacceptable language. I'm sorry, if you allow your children to say that to you, all you're telling them is that you know better than I do. That's what you're telling them. In all of your years of being on this planet, you've learned no more about life than what they know in their condition. And there's something in the heart of children that's very insecure about that. And they respond with hatred. And everything they're born with begins to grow and fester. And the insecurity of a child, imagine a child this big thinking that they're the strongest force in their universe. We wonder why they grow up to be bullies, why they grow up to be dominating, and they are aggressive, and then all these things, and ADD, and all this craziness in their minds, because they don't think there's any boundaries. They've never been taught that there were any. Thank God he's a loving father that cares enough about us to give us some boundaries. But guess what? When we get outside of those things, and we don't even read about them to begin with, we hurt ourselves. We hurt other people, but at the end of it all, most of the pain that we have is not what we've inflicted on others. It's what we've inflicted on ourselves. And I went through a season in my life. I was born and raised to know better, to know what's right. But I hurt a lot of people, and most of that, at the end of it all, I ended up hurt myself. Because when you walk in darkness, you trip. You run into stuff that you're not supposed to run into because you're not designed to walk in darkness. There's a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. And I thank God in 2009, it was enough bumping into things for me. And I said, God, I'm all yours. And in that moment, he became all mine. And I have all that I need now. I have everything. I don't lack anything. I'm not waiting for the next book to come out so that I can try to keep it all together. I've got it all. I have the one who I was a desire in his heart before I was even born. He's mine. He's my father. And I'm his son. That's all there really is to say. Religion has made it into a whole bunch of confusing stuff that people can't even get through and figure out how to become a member sometimes. You're a member the moment you believe in your heart that he is who he said he is. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That whoever, no matter how bad you messed it up, no matter how long you faked it, I faked it for 10 years. How confused do you think I was? Am I in? Am I out? I don't know. Can you even know if you're in or you're out? Until you give it all up. That's right. And you surrender everything and you say, I don't have the answers, God. It's either I'm done, but if you're real, if you're there, and you can deliver me from this alcohol, then I'm yours. So, here I am, and there you are. There we are. He's just real. I'm sorry if you thought he had to be hyped up, if you thought that you had to do five rituals and some kind of fancy prayer to know him. All you got to do is say yes. All you got to do is respond with a, okay. When someone tells you, I love you, what do you have to do? Write a book, memorize a, no, I love you too. God made this thing way simpler than humanity has made it because we're insecure about surrender. We're afraid of full-on surrender and just saying, God, cleanse me inside and outside. I don't need anything else. I just need you. And so we create crutches for ourselves. We create long programs and long degree programs and things to try to prove that we know something about God. And you can know everything about him and not know him. And I just thank God that he's revealed himself to me. It wasn't because I was so clever. Did a lot of stupid stuff. There was a lot that I was given because of my birthright and because of how I was raised that I really shouldn't have squandered 15 or 20 years of my life. But you know what? His grace makes up for that. And he gives us something. This scripture doesn't even fully relate to what I'm saying about Father's Day, but it just so gripped my heart when I read it this week. I'm just going to share it with you because I want us all to realize that this is how God wants us and this is what he's provided for. Psalm 124, verses 7 through 8. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken, and we are free. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I wonder how much we can never embrace the first part of the scripture because we don't embrace the fact that he made heaven and earth. You realize that's been taken away from God for the most part? Most people are being taught and have been taught for a couple generations now that this all just kind of happened. You're so much of an accident and bump around long enough and then you become compost and someone else bumps around on the planet and it's just kind of this ongoing thing. I'm here to tell you you're way more than that. You're way more than an accident. You're way more than just something that happened when your mom and dad saw stars in each other's eyes. God has an intention for your life. Doesn't matter how young you are and doesn't matter how old you are. God has an intention, and his intention is that you would escape like a bird from a hunter's trap. We once were bound in sin. We once had a nature that confined us and ruled us, and the lust that was in our flesh required and produced our own destruction and the destruction of other people. But we've been set free. The trap is broken, and we're free. The doors off the hinges, we're free. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made this whole scene in the first place, is what it's saying. If the guy that designed this is on our side, we're good. It doesn't matter what the environment is. It doesn't matter how many churches have people walk in and start opening fire. It doesn't matter what goes on in the world. We, in our hearts, have been set free. And I want to encourage you this morning in that freedom because it's not something that came at a cheap price. It came at the expense of God's own Son and what he accomplished on that cross when he was brutalized innocently for those who were guilty. And I want to just mention something about Jesus Christ. I don't have a lot of time, but I just want to say this morning. We use this scripture a lot. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This gospel message is not about a band-aid for your woes. It's not about getting you through the next season of your life. It's about, hey, the old is done. Stop living there. It doesn't matter anymore. You can't change one thing about what happened last night. Not one thing. Try. How are you going to change it? You can apologize for some of the mistakes. You can try to go back and touch it in some way, but you can call it to remember. But you can't change anything. Time is like that. You only get one chance to live your next breath. And when that breath is gone, you can't go back and relive it. It's already been breathed. It's moment by moment, and we live in the past, and we think that we're going to redeem ourselves by looking back. And it doesn't work. We look forward, and we realize that old things have passed away, and all things have become new. That's God's idea about how to get us where we need to be. It's about stop dwelling on where we were. We're no longer those people. We've been recreated in Christ Jesus. In Christ. If anyone is in Christ. And who was Jesus Christ anyway? What did he say about himself? People say, oh, he never claimed to be. You haven't read it yet. He never claimed to be God. Just read it. What does it mean to be in Christ? What did he say about himself? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What comes after that? No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus only came not to receive everything for himself. He came and said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Why did he come? Because the Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus came out of obedience. The whole intention was for us to get back in connection with our Father. Because when we have him, we have everything. When you have your dad, you have everything that he has access to. My dad's here, and so there's not a lot. Maybe your bicycle. Dad, you got a pretty nice bike now for the first time. Maybe I want your bike. But not your pickup truck or not anything else. Just maybe the bicycle. Just record this and it's on record now. I want the bike. But we have a Heavenly Father that promises an inheritance to us. And the inheritance that he promises to us is the inheritance that Jesus was due when he hung on the cross and died perfect. That's now our inheritance. We've been brought in to inherit what Jesus Christ, as he died, everything that was due him as a righteous person, that inheritance has now been made available to us. That's why when we're in him, we're in the way back to the Father. We've been reconnected to the Father. We, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, we escape through now having the divine nature. We escape the corruption that's in this world through lust. The corruption in this world does not have access to us directly. It accesses us by producing in us a lust for it. And we willingly go after it. And we think that God somehow is supposed to protect us and guide us if we follow those things. And no, once we step out from under his protection, guess what? We're out there on our own. You're out there fending for yourself. And we take hits. Things happen. This world is not polite and kind and nice. This thing is a battle zone. The Bible talks about putting on the armor so that when we've done all that we can still stand at the end of it, because there's arrows flying, there's fiery darts, there's things that happen to defile us on the inside so that we can never have a true relationship with our Heavenly Father. Those things and those forces are so real. And Jesus comes and he doesn't just offer us some kind of an upgrade to who we are. He doesn't just offer us, you know, everything with apps. Now, you have apps for everything, right? And the more apps you have, the more continually all your apps need upgrading. Like my phone always has 10 apps need to be upgraded. And if you don't click after a while, they stop working properly, right? Upgrades constantly. Upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. I'm like, man, what? Jesus, we think that things can be fixed by an upgrade, but that's not what Jesus comes to do for us. He comes to say, guys, the inheritance that was due to me because I died in your place, now that inheritance is as if you died. You've been crucified with me. Now the inheritance is yours. The righteousness that I had, the way I can access God, the way I can hear his voice, the way I can only do what I see him doing, now that inheritance is yours to walk out in this present evil age. And when you embrace that by faith and you realize God's going to empower you to do it, you don't just make the mistakes that you've made. I don't care if it's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, however long it's been, 80 if there's any there, or however long it's been, your future is not determined by your past anymore, not in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. Your doctor's not going to understand this. The people that have been trying to help you your whole life won't understand why now you don't need them anymore, because you have found Christ. And all things pass away. All things become new. This is the gospel, folks. I'm sorry if this is not what religion has made it into, but this is what Jesus had in his heart when he came. And he hung on the cross and said it was finished. Finished means finished. It means I've done for you what you need me to do for you. Now take it and run with it. Walk in the victory. You once were entrapped like a bird in the snares of the fowler, but the trap has been broken and we are free. When Jesus rose from the grave, do you understand that the trap that held us all was broken forever? That there is nothing. Once death was overridden by the power of Jesus Christ and by the power of life, there was nothing else left that can hold us. Death was the last thing that could possibly contain the life. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to deal with that too. Now he says he has the keys of hell and the grave in his possession. And guess what? He gives them to the church. That's what he says. But people come to church and they're bored. Or it's built for 300 people, but there's 7 people left in it. You just don't know the gospel. You just don't know what Gilly's tasted. You don't know what some... there's. I'm not going to single people out because then it's like, oh, why did he forget me? So we'll just leave it at Gilly for now because he stepped up and testified, so you all know who I'm talking about. But when God transforms a life, it's a transformed life. Victory's victory. This isn't a struggle for the rest of your days. The struggle that we have is just the struggle to keep our focus where it's supposed to be. Because when we're looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith, the prince and power of this era has no access to us. He accesses us through our eyes and through the lust that's produced if we look into the world and the destruction that's there and we begin to desire the things that are out there. What does it mean to be in Christ? It just means this. It means living in a reality that's only available to those who are born of the Spirit. We've all been born of Adam. We've been born of the flesh because you have a body and you're here. And if there's some here that I can't see because you are spirit, then I'm talking to you too. And we know that that's true. We know that there are angels here. There are other forces here. There's a battle that we fight that we don't see our enemy. The Bible says that reality is actually more real. Jesus said that in John 18, he said, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. We're part of a kingdom, folks, that's out of this world. The kingdom that really matters from here forward is out of this world. Where does that come from? It's out of this world. Just means that it's beyond, it's above, it's better, it's more powerful, it's more significant, it's eternal. And we get hung up over whether our burger or fries were soggy or whatever it is, or we're not getting through the stoplight fast enough, or the idiot was too slow in front of us, so now we got to wait for another red light. I mean, come on, we're so fickle and we're so finite we're so entrenched and entangled in this realm that we miss the fact that there's a kingdom that we're called to, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he said, it's not an earthly kingdom. But he also says that we can pray, our Father, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth the same way it is in heaven. Doesn't mean this is all there is. It just means that kingdom can have impact here and now through the church and through us. What's the difference of being in Christ compared to just being in the flesh? We get tested in this stuff. It's not the external environment. It's not the traffic. It's not the fact that you're not going to make your flight. It's not the fact that you're going to be late for your appointment. None of that stuff. As soon as the environment dictates how you feel and how you respond, you are a slave of this age. I'm just telling you straight. You are a slave. You are not free. The snare over your life, the trap's been broken, but you haven't flown out of it yet. You are still ensnared and entangled in the cares of this life. That's just how it is. When you're in traffic and everything that comes out of you is wrong, what is that? Did the old really pass away? Have you truly surrendered? Are you truly walking in what's new? It's available. Jesus came to give us access. Let's read this. We live in a reality that can only be accessed by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's a lot of scriptures here. I've just got a couple minutes left. He came to give us access. And says that he accomplished according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is in Ephesians, in whom we have boldness and we have access with confidence through faith in him. What do we have access to? The Father. We have access to the throne of grace where he sits and he delegates everything that we need for this life. Being in Christ means that you're in your car, you're in traffic, but what's going on around you has no access to your heart anymore because you're not of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. Says that if we don't surrender to him like little children, we'll never inherit the kingdom. That we will not understand and embrace the kingdom. This is simple stuff. And in those moments when we're being tested and pressed and we find ourselves in a pressure cooker, are we ready to acknowledge that this stuff is not sent by God to destroy us? It's sent by him to prove that there's a different spirit living in you now. You now are in me and I am in you and I'm all you need. You're all I'm looking for. And when we have that reality and that relationship, it reigns over top of everything else that's going on. There's a different realm. It doesn't mean that the pain that we feel here isn't real. It just means that one breath and one thought away and one lifting of our faith away, we're now no longer in it. Now we're in his presence. Yes, Lord. And we recuperate and we say, thank you, Father. I'll get there when you have for me to get there. But right now, I just know that I'm your son and you're my dad. And I'm going to be with you forever because of what Jesus did. So, all right. And you loosen the grip on the steering wheel and you breathe and you go on with your day. It's about relationship, moment by moment by moment. This isn't some hyped up thing. It's not about a lightning bolt that strikes you. It's a moment by moment walking in the light as He is in the light. Because when we do that, we find that we have fellowship with the Father. But I just want to encourage us this morning. We don't all take advantage of access. This whole world wants access. Backstage passes. We want the VIP seats. Everybody wants access to where it's really happening. Jesus gave us access to God, the creator of the universe. The forgiveness of sins, the setting of our feet on a new path, putting us into a place where we'll be blessed and rule and reign forever with Him. And we're more impressed with having access to someone just because a few million people know who they are. And when they post something on Facebook, 100,000 people immediately like their stuff. We're attracted to them. We want access to these folks. Jesus came and gave us access to our Heavenly Father. But we're bored going to church. It's like, should I, shouldn't I? I'm telling you, when this reality dawns on the inside of you by this Spirit, you realize, I can't help but want to be in His presence. I can't help but want to sing His praise because He's changed my life from the inside out. Yes. And it's not an obligation. It's not a religious duty. We don't take attendance here. We don't have a roll call. We don't have a way of proving who's a member, who's not a member. And the bank doesn't understand that. I'm just, in this kingdom that I'm a part, I don't get to make the rules for this. It's a heart issue. Man looks at the externals. God looks at your heart. Yeah, that's right. And He knows whether there's a loneliness in there. He knows whether there's something He needs to heal. And He knows whether the outside matches the inside. But when your heart's right, eventually the fruit begins to work its way out. And you begin to find yourself, wait a minute, I didn't have a temper tantrum right there. I usually do. Not because you gritted your teeth, just because you're changing on the inside. The change that's produced by the Holy Spirit is a change that's genuine, it's true, and it lasts. Jesus gives us access back to the Father. He gives us access to the place that's always been in the Father's heart to gather us together. I was with an elderly woman this week, and we're just talking, and she wanted just one thing. She's older and she's dying, and she just wanted all her kids to be with her. And she was getting emotional. She's like, I just want them all to be here. I know they can't. I know they're all busy. But I just want them all to be together. Why can't they all just be together? I just want them to be here with me. And I began to, and then I explained to her, I said, it just actually calmed down. I began an opportunity for me to explain. It didn't dawn on me. I didn't have this, this is interactive. I don't have an answer for this until this Spirit just gave me what to say. And I was able to explain. And God revealed to me, that's how He feels about us. That's how a parent feels when they realize that time's of the essence, that things are fading away, and all they want is for their kids to be close to them. God felt some of that in His heart when He saw what we were. He saw the way we were fading. He saw the way that this earth, without Him coming, would have already itself annihilated by now. With the technology that we have, it wasn't for the church, and it wasn't for faith, and it wasn't for those good folks who have been transformed by His love, standing as preservation on this planet. This thing would have cycled into oblivion a really long time ago. And God saw that, and He had a desire. It says that He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish with the rest of the world, but would have everlasting life. And that's what we have this morning, folks. We have everlasting life. We have a life that doesn't end with the box or the oven that they're going to put us in. It doesn't end there. If you can't laugh at it, doesn't end there. When you taste and see that God's good, He's going to preserve us through everything. Because we're not just born of flesh, we're born of Spirit. We have a future preserved for us in heaven that's glorious and it's eternal. And it's because of what Jesus did. Let's just close in prayer. Father, I just thank You this morning. Because the reality of Your presence is that You just desire that all Your kids would be together and we'd all be gathered around You. And Lord, our fellowship times, that's really all they are. They're just moments of our busy weeks that we take to just set everything else aside and to come and to just sit and listen to Your word. To be in an atmosphere of worship and praise so we can just taste and just get a feel for the atmosphere, the desire that's in Your heart that You just want to be with us. Lord, You don't desire that we would just rush off and we would leave Your presence, but Lord, Your plan is that You cleaned us on the inside so that we could contain Your presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Lord, it's not about a building or a place or an altar or some special spot we kneel, but it's about a relationship that we can have with you because we've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible one, one that doesn't die, one that never dies, but lives and abides forever. So Jesus, this morning, if there's anyone here that just, their heart just doesn't understand you the way that they're desiring to understand you, I just pray right now by your Holy Spirit, the way that only you can do, that you would just move and touch them, let a warmth come upon them, let their heart beat a little faster, let them feel that you are so near to them, that your desire for them is for good. It's to heal the places of pain. It's to bind up the brokenness that's there. It's to set them on a new path and to pull them into yourself. Because if any man be in Christ, if any woman be found in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Every single thing has been made new. And Father, this morning we're just so thankful because you've made us new. You have made us new. And you've made us your own. In Jesus' name, we just thank you this morning. Amen. Thank you, Father.